languages that are kind of static, but also easily accessible and
static.
Or just
slang.
Like when you say already there, like you're talking about Freud's dreams, dream language. It's already there.
I'm not talking about Freud. I am talking about dreams.
Oh, that's what I was thinking when you were talking.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I think what's most radical about what you're doing is pluralizing sexuality, saying sexualities instead of sexuality. Sorry, my voice isn't very good, but there seems something scarier. It's not some problem I've always had in writing and equating women's writing or my writing as a woman with sexuality, which seems somehow the only way to go, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always negotiating shock
mm-hmm.
and kind of, like, basicness, like, to say something that, like, I'm negotiating shock, sexual shock sometimes, but not necessarily with, like, everyday, boring, banal language
mm-hmm.
that comes through, which is also, to me, very important. And
mm-hmm.
and I get stymied and stuttering, and I get blocked by the fact that when I take a language of shock, which I think is politically important, it becomes so banal and kind of, it becomes this pornography that serves the same purpose pornography serves sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Where are you writing from? I mean, do you feel shocked or do you feel other people are shocked?
No, I always think about it in terms of the audience of shock.
That might be a problem because it's hard, you're writing then from a place that's not from, I hate to sound like an essentialist as far as identity goes.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes if you're thinking of what the audience wants, how the audience going to, you're making up something, right? Like if you start thinking about, oh, I have to do this for the future, you make up the future. But the fact is, you know, probably Heraclitus is more than right in this one, that by the time we're in the future, that's the present and we're somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to write that outside, I think,
yeah,
especially about something like sexuality.
I mean, I radically believe that there is no self, particularly for women, that women are masquerade and have to take on certain kinds.
But there must be something in you where you locate pleasure.
No,
yes.
I don't believe in any kind of language about, no.
But you do locate pleasure.
Locate
pleasure in yourself, or it's pleasure somewhere.
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
Ah. We need to have a long conversation.
No, I don't. Never. Don't
right.
believe in it. In fact, I think that's the main problem with all sorts of, like, I think your kinds of appropriations are positive and good, and I agree with them, but of course, there's a history of radical, like, awful, horrendous kinds of appropriations in this world. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
And
well,
and
I'm not saying appropriation is good or bad. I'm saying it works on appropriation.
But I think that kind of appropriation, the bad kind of appropriation, is all predicated upon that very sense of inward sense of self that I don't agree with. And so, like, to me, to have a location.
Now, are you talking about inward sense of self in terms of individualism?
Yeah,
like an enclosed self?
That's one kind.
Right. What about just feel, you know, when you, like, feel pleasure? I mean, does that have to do with self for you?
It feels like somebody else is feeling pleasure.
Right. Huh. What about other... sorry, I'm really fascinated. when you write, where do you write from?
I write to somebody. Letters.
Right.
And I've been trying to appropriate my own letters and something.
I have a student who does that, a really interesting writer named Pippin. She's been appropriating her mother's letters. It's quite fascinating. Do you get into being other people?
I force myself to, yeah.
You force yourself to, but it's not.
I am not. I'm different people all the time.
Right.
And so, like, I try and exaggerate that when I write more.
Is there pleasure in that?
There's a pleasure in a certain kind of tone that you can get. I get pleasure in appropriating language, but that's where I get pleasure. I think,
right.
Yeah, there is a pleasure. Sure.
Yeah.
I'd say it's mine for a moment or two.
Well, someone feels it that you can recognize as, you know.
Close to home.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about it? Like, do you ever feel like you have to be, like, it might be almost more shocking to say the most obvious thing, like, in a way, like, just to talk about what's in front of people's faces?
A lot of, you know, I don't think a lot about what people are going to think of what I write, except in terms of clarity. I mean, my main interest is that...
Politically, don't you have to think about
it? You know,
I
do, on the whole, I don't when I'm doing it, and I distrust it when I'm thinking politically when I'm doing it, but the politics kind of whelms out. Basically, I'm a kid in a room who's getting off on what I'm writing. I mean, basically, I like writing. When I'm writing, I think, no one could be that stupid. And I go, hey, I can. Or, you know, this is really like, ooh. I mean, that's my main, I really get off on writing. But it's that sense of, like, no one's telling me what to do at the moment. You know, I'm free. I mean, freedom is, like, a big thing for me when I write.
See, I don't see language as that free. I feel like it's totally overdetermined.
Well, that's why I'm looking for these other languages, right? Because when it gets overdetermined is when I want to run the other way. I mean, I can't write people letters because they feel so overdetermined. I've never written a grant in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I can't bear it. I just, like, I can't do it. My best feeling about that is I once went to visit a friend of mine, Genesis P. Orridge, and he lived in a town called Montecito, which is partly a Hell's Angel town. And he lived on a real funny hill, which I couldn't drive my bike up. But so I stopped at the Pink Elephant, which was his bar at the bottom of the hill. And I go into this bar, and it's a Hell's Angels bar. They're retired Hell's Angels, the fattest guys you've ever seen in your life. And the guy behind the bar, so I walk in, and he goes, hey, nice tats, girl. So I knew I was fine. So the guy behind the bar is filling out, like, an SSI form or some form. I couldn't figure it. It wasn't SSI. It was one of those forms, right? And they asked him about his mother. So he said, oh, they want to know, what's my relation to my mother? So another fat old slob goes, you fuck her. He said, yeah, right. I fucked my mother. I was going, this is so cool. I don't believe it.